is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong it shall forever. The saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Love divine, so great and wondrous, tests of time. He the pearly gates has opened, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me.
Much appreciate everyone's involvement in the music today. We're gonna turn back the clock here this morning to Thanksgiving. Anyone you'd like to do that? It was warmer, okay. So we're gonna turn back the clock here till back to Thanksgiving time. I'm gonna start with a word of prayer, and then we're just gonna take some praises here, okay? And I'll just stand in front of each section, and so I'm giving you a chance to think of something that you're thankful for. And we'll just raise your hand, I'll call on you, and it'll just be quick. We're not going to waste time thinking about what we can be thankful for. Either you're thankful for something or you're not, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. I've given you a little heads up. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray this time now that we look into your word, that you would bless this time, that you would help me as I present this psalm this morning, the truth of it. And Help me not to detract from the truth in any way, but to stick to you, to stick to your words, to stick to talking about you, making you the main point of this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's start right down here. This section right here. Who has something they're thankful for? Dan. The Bible being God's Word, right here, this section. The joy of the Lord, Pastor Taylor. His furnace works! Yes, his didn't work this morning. This section right here. Yes, Larry. His goodness and mercy. Sandy? Church, yes. Grace, awesome. This section right here. Delbert. Okay, time out. How many of you agree with that? You saw the ice on your windshield and thought, oh, this is so beautiful. Only a science teacher would see God's beauty in that. Coming back here, any more on this section? Salvation, forgiveness. Yes, David. Family. If you got one you're thankful for, that's a good thing, right? Okay. Let's see. Abby, did you have your hand up earlier? Both hands. Woo! She was super thankful. Just to be here, right? I know. Ray.
I thought it was a praise this morning that whenever we got out, that it was cold. It was very cold, but it could have been worse. There's no rain, no snow, no wind. It was a calm and it was an easy cold.
And the roads were so clear, there wasn't even ice on them. Karen, you had your hand up. Started to. No, apparently not. Okay. Anyone else? Real quick. Yes, Style.
In a month, we're bringing another life here.
Yes, in another month, we're going to have a new member of the Grace family. Okay. And this is the best kind of family member to get. We don't have a dime in this one. It's all Style and Whitney. And think about it. No getting up in the middle of the night. These are the best kind of children to have, right? David. Awesome. Very good. Okay. Yes, Brenda. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. One more. Monty. That is, he took his wife out for dinner last night and they got to eat inside a restaurant even. Whoa! Is it? Don't you love this country? All right, Karen, I saw your hand going up this time. Thankful for her church and that she knows Jesus as her Savior. Ray, you're hogging all of this, but go ahead. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles. One more. Pat.
Your Wednesday night messages are so inspiring and helpful and convicting.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord for that. All right. Did you hear that? We'll end with this shameless plug for Wednesday night Bible study. Okay. Psalm chapter 33. Now, why praise the Lord? We just spent 5 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, you guys were firing them off like crazy. Why do that? Why praise the Lord? There's a reason for it. We're going to look at that today here in this psalm. Now, before I get going and I forget, I need to meet with my deacons afterward in the fellowship hall. Okay, after the morning service, I'm going to try and get down there as quickly as possible. If you could meet me down there. Just a couple of things to go over with you about next Sunday, celebrating membership Sunday. I'm really excited about that. We're doing this because we want to emphasize membership. Membership is important. And if I were to ask you, why is membership important? Would you be able to come up with an answer right away? That's why we're going to celebrate membership. We want to focus on why we need to be a member of the church, what kind of a member we need to be if we're going to be a member of the church. And I'll just throw this out there. Sooner or later, I'm going to start my message. I'll just throw this out there. this analogy, it's a biblical analogy. God does this. He compares the church to a marriage, to His relationship with us. Okay? And as we think about church membership and how people view membership, or their involvement in membership or not membership, throw those same thoughts into a marriage. And how would that work? Just something to consider this week, okay? And mull that over. Now, folks, we're looking at Psalm 33. Last year, wow, that was a very different year. And I'm not going to say difficult. To some people, last year had a difficult year. It was just very different. Things happened, and people, organizations, they reacted in ways that we never dreamed we'd ever see. Would you agree with that? And I think it revealed, and it's still revealing, that some people are prone to focus on their troubles rather than their blessings. You hear some people's summation of last year, "Oh, that was a bad year." What? Nothing good happened last year? See, the tendency is to focus on the troubles instead of the blessings. Psalm 33 and verse 5, part of it says this: "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Key word there. It is full. The earth doesn't have just a little bit of goodness. It is full of God's goodness. It's everywhere you look. It's all around us. And for us to not be able to focus on the goodness of the Lord that's all around us, we're missing something. We see all of the things that take place right now in our world. We hear about things going on in our world. We hear and see these things on the news and social media. And we can very quickly lose sight of the fact that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And we start throwing up our hands. The sky is falling. Everything is so terrible. I can't believe they're doing this. And blah, 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 blah. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And when we lose sight of that, our vision of God is changed. This psalm commands us to look around the world, see the faithfulness and the goodness of God, see that He is in control of everything. Everything is not out of control, folks, because God is in control of everything. These things are not out of God's control. I know things have happened in the last year that we never dreamed we would see happen, and they're happening so quickly, and who knows what this next year, what we're going to see happen. God is still in control. They're out of our control, yes, but not God's control. We always have cause to praise in the midst of our problems. Let me say that again. We always have cause, a reason, to praise in the midst of our problems. We never have a cause or a reason to complain and worry. In the midst of our problems, we always have a cause to praise. Why praise the Lord? Number one, God deserves to be praised. Let's begin just by reading verse 1 of Psalm 33. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, and sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Now, Psalm 32, we did that last week. It ended with an admonition for the righteous to shout for joy. Do you remember that? If not, just go back in your Bible one verse. It's right there at the end of verse 32. And now Psalm 33 starts with rejoice. Okay? It means to sing or shout aloud. That means that our praising God is to be audible. How much praising God do we read on social media from other Christians? Ooh. Our words that we speak or type should be words of rejoicing, not boo-hoo. What do we have to boo-hoo about? We're going to heaven, folks. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are on the end times and the rapture and all of that. Me personally, I believe the Bible teaches we're going to be out of here before things get terrible. Okay? I am pre-trib. That means I'm going to be out of here before the tribulation starts. Some Christians believe that we're going to be here for the first few years, and then when everything blows up and gets nasty, we're going to be out of here. Either way, we're going to be out of here, okay? Now, you've heard me compare this life to a mission trip before. I believe we're getting close to the rapture. That means our mission trip's almost over. We're going home pretty soon. Who cares what we just heard on the news? We're going to be out of here, folks. And if you die before the rapture, that means you're getting out of here quicker. I'm jealous, you know? Our words should be words of rejoicing. Why? Okay, because it says there in that first verse, praise is the word comely. It means this, it's appropriate. Words not of praise are inappropriate. But words of praise are appropriate. Not praising is inappropriate. Folks, it is appropriate for us as Christians to speak of God's faithfulness, His power, His sovereignty, His love, just as we did here in the first 5 minutes. Just going all over the room. The Hebrew word for comely also means beautiful. Nothing is more beautiful in the eyes of God than His people joyfully lifting up praises. So, nothing is uglier than His people wallowing in self-pity, fear, and doubt. He's like, what is their problem? What is the problem with my kids? Don't they know they're the child of the King? What are they whining about? Don't they know they're coming home soon? What are they posting that stuff for? How is that bringing their neighbors and friends to them to ask them a reason for the hope that they have that life is going to end well for them? Those kind of posts don't do that. That kind of talking with coworkers about, oh, I can't believe they're doing this and I heard this. Who cares? We're on a mission trip, folks. It doesn't pertain to us. We're going to be out of here. It says there, the upright, the righteous praise. The righteous praise. So what does that say about someone who's not praising? We can just flip that coin back around, couldn't we? When our fellowship with God is not what it should be, neither is our worship of God. When we spend the whole week not praising God, but whining and complaining and complaining, expressing our fears and worries and doubts about everything going on in this country that isn't ours, okay? We're just passing through. When we spend our week doing all that, and then we come in here on Sunday and say, "Thank you, Lord." Really? It affects our worship. Maybe that's why when we come in here to sing, "Thank you, Lord," we got to beef up the instruments. We got to get, some churches have to get different kinds of instruments just to get people excited enough to sing. But the righteous praise the Lord. When our worship, our fellowship with God is not what it should be, our worship's affected. We don't audibly praise God when our fellowship with God is not what it should be. Now, verses 2 and 3 are speaking of the element of music in there, okay? These two, now, I don't want to jump ahead here. These two verses, they don't just exhort us to praise God audibly, but God is saying to praise Him through music. So it's more than just walking around spitting out the mantra, "Praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus," praising Him with music. Now that makes some people uncomfortable. We are praising the Lord. We are singing unto Him. When we sing, it is for the benefit of God. No one else in here. When someone plays or sings a special, it is for the benefit of God, not the listeners. They're not singing a special for us. And I have to watch myself because sometimes I might introduce, you know, "Okay, Emma's going to come and sing for us." Ooh, no, she's not. She's singing for the benefit of God and all the other people that do special music. It's not for us. It's not for our entertainment. That mentality has crept its way into churches, and it has fed the idea that people come to church to receive. Okay, bless me, shake my hand, entertain me, don't preach too long, and let me out in time to go to the restaurant, and I'll be happy. You know? That's not why we're here, folks. It is all about praising God when we come in here. And if we have spent our entire week not praising God, it affects our worship when we come in here. When we are gathered here as a corporate body, it is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what you like or dislike. You are not the audience. Even now as I speak, you are not the audience. God is. It's all about Him. Okay, I'm gonna go out on a limb here now and reread verse 3, okay? "Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice." Or a loud noise. We are singing to God. Not because we have to. Not because it's next in the order of service that we always have every Sunday. It's not because we have to sing songs during our worship time because that's tradition. I mean, we have to sing some hymns, don't we? So let's just stand up and get this over with. Oh, they're making me stand for another song? Oh! Don't worry, the older I get, the less we're going to do that up and down thing, okay? Folks, we are singing to God! The one who saved your miserable soul and mine. Because of Him, I am not going to burn forever in the lake of fire. And neither are you. Doesn't that excite you? "Thank you, Lord, saving. Whoa. I think we're just going to do that. We're going to sing that together before we're done here this morning. We're going to sing it like we mean it, right? I mean, just think about this. It says a loud noise. That's what God says. Like when your team makes a comeback and scores with seconds remaining in the final quarter. I had no idea who even played the Super Bowl this year. I don't know who won. I don't care because I'm done with the NFL. When they went political and the whole taking a knee and all, that's not football, okay? Just play football. Just get these big men out there and bash each other. You know, it's the American thing to do. I don't know how godly it is, but it sure is fun to watch, right? And to hear their heads slamming together with those awesome microphones they have hovering over the field. Man, that is good stuff. I hope there's football in heaven. I really do. Can you imagine what I would be like the Sunday after the Super Bowl, after the Packers just pulled it out in the last quarter with seconds remaining? Woo! Man, I would be excited. Can't we get at least half that excited about God? Who, at the very last second, pulled us out of Satan's grips for all eternity. That's something to sing about. That's something to shout about. I'm going to go all back to Costal on you folks here, on you guys here in just a moment, okay? I'm feeling it. But man, I'm just getting excited thinking about this. They made a loud noise. The church has always expressed their praise for music. Our expression should be our best. I mean, if you can get excited and whoop and holler over a sports team, woo, woo, man, we're getting excited now talking about our favorite football team, okay? And then sing, right after that, the next day, sing, oh, victory in Jesus, like you're at a funeral. There is something wrong, internally wrong. If you are providing what we call our special, if you're one of those that serve in that ministry, then please do your best. Prepare for that moment. Be skillful to the best of your ability. Don't throw it together the night before. Why? Everyone's gracious. Even if you fumble and make mistakes, they're all going to say, amen. Appreciate that. Good job. They're going to encourage you. But you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for God. Give Him your best. Your special is an offering to God. If your offering is not your best, then don't give God your second best. Hey, I'm okay with this. I am not so stuck on tradition that we just don't have a special some Sunday. That's okay. I'm not going to look down on anyone and say, hey, Pastor, I just don't feel I'm ready. I don't feel I'll be able to do my best today. Okay, no special. We're fine. No one here is going to suffer because it's not for us anyway. It's for God. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it does need to be our best. Our worship needs to be sincere. Verse 3, it said, sing unto Him a new song. Okay, now that is not, in spite of what some people tried to yank that psalm out and justify their new music, it's not talking about a new sound of music. It's not talking about contemporary Christian music. Okay. The verse just has nothing to do with that conversation. The word new, it means fresh, not stale. So when I sing, it needs to not be sung the way that I have sung Victory in Jesus for the last 57 years. I know I'm only 53, but some people sing it like they've been singing it longer than they are alive. and it's stale. A new song. It's fresh. Half-hearted worship is not worthy of God. And as we stand before God, you can imagine when we stand before God, maybe we can't. Can you imagine the noise level? I'm so glad the hearing aids aren't coming with me because they will just be blowing out with screeches with that loud noise. As we are standing before God, can you imagine the noise level of just people shouting, "Thank you!" As we see Satan and people that have rejected God being cast into the lake of fire, "Thank you for saving me!" It's going to be intense. Not, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Oh no, it's going to be different. Because then it's going to be real to us. I have 8 more reasons we need to move on. Number 2, okay? God's word is trustworthy. Another reason why we should praise God. Verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Verse 5, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." One of the things that this last year has shown us, I think, is you just can't trust anything you hear or read. Except the Word of God. It's trustworthy. It's worthy of trust is what that means. God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. The Word of God is right. It says there in verse 4. It means it is straight. It is true. There's no warps or wobbles in it. It's always going to be straight and true. It's always going to be right because God is righteous and true and trustworthy. So is His Word. The reason we trust His Word is the uncompromised character of its author, God. So we trust all that He does. Because He is trustworthy in His words, He's also trustworthy in His works. We may not be able to understand what He's doing or why He's doing it, but that is where trust kicks in. When we can't figure it out, when it doesn't make sense, that's when trusting, I think, actually starts. Remember Job's testimony? He had lost everything. Far worse than anything we've experienced in the last year. And far worse than anything we can guess our current leadership may do in the coming year. Far worse. And what did Job say? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Trust all that he does. But we also trust his love. Did you know God loves you? Amen. Yeah, of course. We know that. It's the Christian mantra. God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. Right? Okay. But do we know that he loves us enough to trust his love? Because he loved us, as it said in the very first verse, he has filled the earth with his goodness. His mercy, his kindness, his love. Filled the earth with it. He created the earth for us. Creating it, creating into the earth the things that we need. Like air. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Do you know we never run out of oxygen? Where's the big oxygen tank supplying oxygen for us? And who changes the oxygen tank for the world? Nobody. You know what God did? He created this thing called, I think it's photosynthesis. Maybe I've got the wrong term. Delbert, yes, thank you. I had to consult with the expert here. Okay. The leaves, they produce oxygen for us. Isn't that cool? so we never run out of oxygen. And there's wind on the earth. Isn't that cool? Except when we're having a bad hair day, right? But God gave us wind. Otherwise, when it rained and we had these massive puddles in our field, they would be there for months because the wind isn't moving to dry it up. Oh, that thing called evaporation. Once all the rain fell from the sky, there's no more rain. But God created this thing called evaporation, which takes the water back up into the sky and different temperatures. So when it gets up high and it cools, it turns from a gas to water and falls back to the earth. And we get more rain again. How about when you cut yourself? Isn't it amazing your skin heals itself? It's kind of like science fiction, isn't it? It's like, and it just heals itself. Not that fast. We wish it was sometimes. God is amazing. He has given us everything that we need, and He's given us other things on this earth just for our enjoyment. Like a beautiful sunset. You thought I was going to say snow, didn't you? And snow. Yeah, snow's good. Because if we didn't get snow in the winter, come summer, the farmers are going to be hurting because the water lake, water table in the ground is so low. So we need precipitation in the wintertime. It's part of God's plan. We should praise the Lord because He has given us His Word. His Word is completely reliable. We can trust the Word because we trust the God of the Word. We are blessed to have the Bible, folks. It is through the Bible that we get to know God more. And as we know Him more, we trust Him more. Our trust, our faith grows through the Word, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Trust God, trust the Word, which comes from God, and God will be your shield. Moaning and crying on social media and to our co-workers and anyone that will listen to us rant about the things our government is doing now recently, that is not going to allow us to have God's shield protecting us. Stay away from me, okay? There's only room behind my shield for me anyway. You have to do your own trusting to get God's shield around you. We're exposing ourselves when we don't praise God, but instead complain, worry, express our fears and doubts. We also praise God, number three, because God is the Creator. Let's read verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. He created the heavens and the stars, the boundaries for the seas, simply by the power of His words. He literally didn't lift a finger to do that. So the summation is God is to be feared and revered. Feared and revered, okay? Holding Him in reverence. Creation points to the fact that there is a God behind it all. He spoke and it happened. We should fear Him and revere Him. That is reverence toward God. That then results in a submission on our part to His will. If you don't respect someone, you're not submitting to them, correct? That's absolutely right. If we're not submitting to God, we don't respect, revere Him. And by the way, little rabbit trail here, looking at the Ten Commandments, okay, there are some pretty serious violations in the Ten Commandments, isn't there? Did you don't kill, don't steal, you know, don't commit adultery. There's some serious violations in there. Did you ever wonder why in the Ten Commandments, taking God's name in vain is in there? Right along, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal. And God has that in the Ten Commandments. Don't take my name in vain. OMG. Or just saying what many people say. Oh my, and then the word gosh. I hear that all the time from Christians. I think that is even worse. Saying the word gosh instead of just OMG. And here's why. Taking God's name in vain is reducing His name to a word that has no grammatical value whatsoever. You think of how people use, and then they say OM and G. How does that fit grammatically into communicating a thought? It doesn't. It literally is pointless. It's vain. Don't take God's name in a vain way. It's filler, okay? It's reducing God's name to something that is worthless. Now, here's why I think saying, oh my, in the word gosh, is worse. Because we're taking God's name, which we've already reduced to a filler word, and we're taking God's name now, and we're watering down the filler word, because we're not even going to bother saying the name of God. We'll just make it a lesser. It's called a euphemism. Google it. Look it up in a dictionary. I think that's even worse. The Creator of the universe, His name has been reduced to a watered down filler word. How is us saying that and not even realizing we're saying it, how is that reverencing God, revering Him? Just a thought to chew on. God has revealed Himself to us in creation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven unto all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It is shown to them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's us, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This was the first step in bringing salvation to man. Creation. A subconscious recognition that there is a God to whom we are all responsible to. Is it any wonder that creation is attacked? It's not about one theory over another theory and who's got the most evidence and facts. It's about attacking creation is all about getting God out of the picture. Because it is with this very thing called creation that speaks to every living person, there is a God. There is a God that you must answer to. From the beginning, this was Satan's goal. Cast doubt on God's word. More than ever, folks, we need to decide that we're going to stand for what the Bible says. And live it. Regardless of how things this year go. We need to make that decision. Number four. Reason number four to praise the Lord. God's plans stand forever. What God created, He has a plan for it. All of it. And His plan will come to pass. From the beginning. From the beginning, God has known how the earth story was going to end. When he first spoke, "Let there be light," He knew how it was all going to end. Listen to what Daniel proclaimed. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. That the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Wow, that's an interesting verse there. That explains what happened with our last election. God's in control. It says, he setteth up over it the ruling of kingdoms. He setteth up in those positions of ruling even the basest of men. This was not something that slipped by God. Whoever is in the White House, whoever is on the Supreme Court, whoever is ruling in the deep state conspiracy, God rules all of that. So what are we fretting over? Look at verse. I mean, there's so many things going on the internet right now about end times and the purple-headed dragon antichrist lady or whatever it is, and blood moons and all of these different things like that. God's in control of all that. Psalm 33 and verse 10, it says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." Whatever's being planned in deep state conspiracy groups right now, whatever's being planned, what does it say? "He maketh the devices, the plans of none effect." They're not going to mess with God's plan for how the earth is going to end and when and everything that's going to happen in between. He stops the plans of the nations. When their plans are contrary to God's plans, he stops them. How can he do that without an election? He's God. He rules over them. Verse 11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." God's plans cannot be overthrown. Look with me at verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Again, Acts 5 and verse 39. "But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it." So apparently, this past election was part of God's plan. We tried to overthrow it. People tried to overthrow it through the courts and all of this. And it seemed so obvious, didn't it? We cannot overthrow God's plans. Here's a third point about God's plans. He blesses the nations who acknowledge him as Lord. Oh, I love this part, but we need to take this to heart. Any nation that places itself under God's authority and rules the nation according to God's word will be blessed. That's why I believe America came to be what America came to be. Because of placing themselves under God's authority, ruling according to God's word. And that is more than fraying on the edges. That is unraveling at a quick speed as we move farther and farther away from God's word. Since God's laws were written for our well-being, when we submit to them, we are doing what will result in the best outcome for us. I know we live in a world that is, for the most part, against God. Their opposition against God is growing rapidly. We see that now more than ever. But God is still on the throne. And what he has planned, which is best, will come to pass. Just as God has a plan for the world, he has a plan for our individual lives as well. He had, for some reason, he had planned that Pastor Taylor's furnace would go out last night. And it gave him an awesome illustration for Sunday school. That was the plan, I guess. I know, folks, we do face bad circumstances. I think they're going to get badder as well, okay? But we face sickness. We do face financial issues. We face oppression that is growing quickly now. And yet God has promised to use them all to accomplish His purpose for our lives, which is best. His purpose in transforming us into the image of His Son, which is best. Fifth reason to praise God. 12 more to go. Just seeing if you're awake. God sees everyone. Verse 13, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth the sons of men. Wait, what does it say there? He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. He sees all who live on the earth. Even those unfaced members of the deep state conspiracy that nobody knows who they are. Okay? The Illuminati. God knows who they are, if they exist. And He knows what they're doing. And He knows what's going on in secret meetings in Washington. And He knows about the conspiracy, these groups of people, the multi-billionaire people in the world that for some reason got themselves together last year or the year before that. And they planned this whole COVID thing and how they were going to bring it to pass and do it. If that happened, he knew about that. And He allowed it to happen. Must have been part of His plan. Nothing escapes His attention. Nothing will escape His righteous judgment either. I like that part. They'll get theirs. Okay? Do what you want to me. I'm just on a mission trip. But then sooner or later, you're going to have to come home too. Only it won't be your home. It'll just be a transfer point for you as God brings His judgment down on you. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There it is. He sees it. He's aware of it all. Also, since He loves us, we could compare this, I think, to a loving parent who keeps a close watch on their child. And they stand ready to help in their time of need. And they'll jump in with whatever force needed to match the level of help that's needed. Because that's what loving parents do, right? We should praise God because He is omniscient. That's the word, all-knowing. He keeps an eye on us because He cares for us. The Bible says that He even counts the hairs on our head, and I know you know that already, but think of it. A number that is constantly changing. And no, that's not a bald joke, okay? Ladies who think you're not losing hair, go home and look at your hairbrush. The number is constantly changing for billions of people. And He knows the number at any given time. That's how vestedly interested He is in each of our lives. He knows everything about us. I know sometimes we can think that God is just far away. And that what's happening to us is not even on His radar. It is. He knows everything about us. The worries that are on our minds, the what ifs about the things we see happening on the news, the burdens that are sometimes just really heavy on us, the evil that we, I think, are starting to see that's being plotted against us, and even our own struggles with sin and temptation. He knows He knows of our insecurities that I think we all have. He knows our fears. He knows our material needs. He knows our emotional needs. He knows our relational needs. He knows about our family problems. He knows. And He invites us to bring them all to Him in prayer. Listen to these two verses. They'll be familiar, but also I want you to look at what's not there, okay? Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Period. Next verse. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Period. Now, what did you not find there? You will not find in those two verses ranting on social media. Ranting to your friends. You won't find those two things anywhere in the Bible as a means to dealing with the things that are troubling us. I get it. There's troubling things going on in our world. Troubling things going on politically and internationally. They're troubling. But you'll not find anywhere in the Bible those two things as a means to handle them. Just take them to God. We should praise God because in His time, He will execute perfect justice on the earth. Psalm 33 and verse 20, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Folks, when the enemy, whoever that may be, when the enemy attacks, when sometimes life feels like it's attacking us, we need to turn to God. Trust Him. When we take matters into our own hands, by the way, here's how we know if we're taking matters into our own hands, okay? Here's how we know if we're taking matters into our own hands and not trusting God. Are you ready? When we don't trust God, we get frustrated. Some of you are frustrated with the government. But I'm not speaking to me specifically just as a way of comparison, but I trust God. God's in control. I trust Him. Frustration gone. We're frustrated with the election, the apparent cheating that took place. Some of you are frustrated with taxes and on and on and on and on. Okay? When we get frustrated, we're not trusting God. When we fear is when we know we're not trusting God. Some of you live in fear right now. I think there's a lot of people not here on Sundays that are living in fear. Some. Some would say they're not here because of their concerns about the virus, but Monday through Saturday, they do what they got to do to live. My friend, if that's you, you are spiritually dying. You need to be with God's people. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 is not just a suggestion to put a little cherry on the top of your spiritual life. You're starving. You need to be here. Some people fear. Some people, when we worry, we're not trusting God. Some of you, maybe not you in this room, but some people are worrying right now. I mentioned the purple-headed Antichrist dragon lady or the blood moon that was running through the internet here several years ago. Or, oh no, computer chips under the skin. It's the mark of the beast. Or, I read there was computer tracking technologies in those vaccines they're making everyone get. And they'll be able to track us. Guess what? They already can. It's called a cell phone, okay? Or the latest one that people are fearing over? Oh no, all the performers in the halftime show looked alike. It's China. They're coming to get us. The world is coming to an end. It always has been. Since the first day of creation. It's been coming to an end. So, who are you trusting? It just comes down to that, folks. Will you be obedient to what God says? We, as Christians, even with a virus, what we as Christians are to do? Or do our fears and worries and concerns win out because of a lack of trust in God? Let's close different today. Let's all stand. We're going to sing. But we're not going to sing the way I was singing earlier. We're going to sing "Thank You, Lord," because we mean "Thank You, Lord," right? Our God is worthy of our thanks. Let's sing together.
Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You,
Father, God, I pray that our words that we sing now, that they would become so ingrained in us, that they would be more than just a song, but they would be words that would just flood from our heart towards You as we praise You every day, every part of every day, after every social media cast that we post, that we read, after every newscast that we hear. We would just stop and praise You because You're on the throne. You're in control of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.